church. The rest of us will be there in John chapter 4. So if you would, take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. This will be the passage for the year. I'm excited about it. John chapter 4. If you find your place, if you wouldn't mind, to stand, and we'll read our passage. So the theme verse of the year is verse 36. But every verse sits in a context, and so we're going to read the entire account, at least this section that we're going to be considering this morning. And so we'll start our reading in verse number 27. John chapter 4, verse 27. It says this: "And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come and see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. And they're like, Who gave him meat? Verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he reapeth, I'm sorry, he that reapeth, this is our verse and I'm messing it all up. Verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One reapeth, and then, I'm sorry, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." So we're going to pray. We'll get into our theme for the year, working the field. I'm excited about it. Let's have hearts that are ready to open and receive the word of God tonight. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the call that you've given each of us to work the field. God, if we consider it, and as we do this morning, well, we can't help but feel inadequate and unworthy to do that. But I'm thankful that you enable us to do that, and you've given us the tools we need. And Lord, you've called us all to be a part of the field. Could you help me, Lord, to express that this morning? Help us to have hearts that are open and ready to hear your word this morning. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Appreciate that. You may be seated. After the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001, the former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, was asked to share a few thoughts about that. Here's what he said. "When everybody was fleeing that building, and the cops and the firefighters and the EMS people were headed up into it, do you think any of them said, I wonder how many blacks are up there just for us to save? I wonder what percentage are whites up there? How many Jews are there? Let's see, are these people making $400,000 a year or $24,000 a year? No, when you're saving lives, they're all precious." He said this, "I'm convinced that God wants us to value every human life the way he does." Mayor Giuliani was referring to physical lives being saved, obviously, on that day. And obviously, he's right. When it comes to rescuing people from danger, the last thing you think about is their race, their gender, their social status, how much money they make. All you care about in that situation is that these are human beings who are in danger and their life is precious. So if saving human life from danger on earth is that important, how much more important is saving an eternal human soul from the danger of eternal death in hell forever? It's a real place. Hell is real. Jesus described it often as the place that is an eternal torment. where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a real place. You know, Jesus actually spoke of hell more than he did of heaven. Jesus thought it was so important to save people from that place that he left his throne, we sang about this morning. He left his Father's throne above and left his throne in glory. And God himself thought it was so important to save man from that eternal death that he became a man himself and died for us. That's how important it was to God. And when Jesus saw people while he walked this earth, he was not very concerned with their race, or their gender, or their social status, or what they had done in their past. No, when Jesus saw people, he saw them as eternal souls. Souls that would spend eternity somewhere. A soul that just in a little while he would die for. A soul that he created. And he saw a sinner in need of salvation. That's how Jesus saw people. And no story really demonstrates that maybe better than the account of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Right before our passage, Jesus dealt with the woman at the well. If you look at verse 4 of chapter 4, John said that Jesus left Judea and that he must needs go through Samaria. He was leaving Judea and he needed to go through Samaria. Why was it so important that he go through Samaria? The Jews never went through Samaria. Even though it was the quickest route, they would not go through Samaria. No, they would on purpose go around Samaria because why? They hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile. And so the Jews saw them as compromisers. And there's a whole history between the two. The point this morning is this. The Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. And so the Jews would not go through Samaria. But Jesus didn't care about all of that. He knew that there was a woman in Samaria who needed the gospel. And so he needed to go through Samaria so he can give her the gospel. And so they went. And when he got there, the Bible says that the woman that he was looking for was at Jacob's well at about the sixth hour. Now the sixth hour would have been in the middle of the day, and the sun was at its hottest, and nobody went to get water at the sixth hour. But that's precisely why this woman went to get water at the sixth hour. It's because she was too embarrassed to be around people. Everybody knew her reputation. And in verse 18, we find out, Jesus says this of her, "For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now, is not thy husband." That was the reputation of this woman. Jesus knew her reputation too. Hey, Jesus knew her past, but that wasn't very important to him. Jesus knew that she was a woman, but that was not very important to him. Jesus knew she was a Samaritan, but that was not very important to him. What mattered to Jesus was that he saw an eternal soul headed for eternity in hell, and she needed the gospel. That's what mattered to Jesus. And so he told her who she was. He didn't beat around the bush. He told her that she was a sinner. He explained to her that she had done wrong in her past. No, he knew she had a past, and she pointed it out to him. He knew that she did not deserve heaven. By the way, that's the bad news. And he pointed it out to her, didn't he? He said, you have sinned. You are a sinner. But then he told her who he was. He was the Messiah who came to save her from her sin, and she got saved right there at the well. That's awesome. And all of that happened right before our passage. And so our passage picks up right there. And Jesus, this morning, is going to use the analogy of a harvest field. He'll use that analogy quite often in Scripture. In fact, we just dealt with on Sunday mornings in Luke, the parable of the soils, that talk about casting the seed into the field. Remember that? So he used that analogy of a field. In Matthew 9, 37 through 38, Jesus said, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And then in our passage, verse 35, if you look at it, says this, Say not ye that there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. So what is this thing? What is the field? What is the harvest? Well, people are the harvest. That's what Jesus is talking about. The harvest are lost souls that need to be saved and brought into the kingdom of God. And we are called into the field. We are called to work the field. Jesus' disciples were supposed to be working the field. But the problem is they didn't even notice the field. They were too distracted from the field. And this morning we're going to see two reasons why the disciples were distracted from the field. They didn't see people the way Jesus saw them. They were distracted. First one is this: the disciples didn't notice the field because they did not have the right view of people. We already said it, but when Jesus saw the woman, he didn't just see someone from Samaria. He didn't just see someone that was a different gender than him. He didn't see someone who was getting water at noon because nobody else was there. No, when Jesus saw the woman, he saw an eternal soul that would spend eternity somewhere. He saw a soul that he created, a soul that very soon he would die for. He saw a sinner that needed to be saved. And all of those other things were true. They were a reality, but those were not the main thing to Jesus. But the disciples did not see her that way. Why? Because they were distracted by her past. They were distracted by her gender. They were distracted by her race. Verse 27 says they were shocked that Jesus was even talking to her. Look at verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. So here's what happened. Is they come up to Samaria. Immediately the disciples, thinking about food, I understand that, they go into the city and they go to buy food. And while they're in the city buying food, Jesus is having his meat, we're going to talk about. Jesus is doing what fulfills him, and he sees a sinner who needs to be saved. And so while they're buying physical food, he is there offering the water of life to this woman. And he sits by her, and she receives Christ. She gets saved. And right after that, the disciples come back. They come back. And when they come back, they're wondering. They marvel that Jesus is talking to this woman. That means they're shocked. That's what marveled means. They were shocked that Jesus would even talk to a woman of Samaria who was at the well at noon. Why would you even talk to her? But notice the rest of verse 27. They didn't even bother to ask about it. They noticed, they were shocked, but they didn't ask about it. It says, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They never asked the woman, hey, why are you talking to Jesus? They never asked Jesus, why are you talking to her? No, they weren't interested in the woman enough to even ask about the conversation they were so shocked about. They totally missed it. They missed the field. Totally missed the field. And so then the woman left her water pot and went into the city. And she told the city all about Jesus. Now that the woman was at the well was saved, she immediately began working the field. Immediately. She got saved and told people what happened to her. She didn't know much. But she did know what Jesus did for her. She can say that. She did know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. She did know that Jesus saved her. And so she went into the city and started working the field. She said this in verse 29. Come and see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She was witnessing, wasn't she? She was working the field. And if the disciples were paying any attention at all, they would have noticed that Jesus had just picked ripe fruit. He had just harvested fruit right there in front of their eyes, and they missed it totally, totally missed it. And now that fruit had become a sower. And they missed that too. They missed the fruit. They missed the sower. They totally missed the field. They were distracted. They didn't see people the way Jesus saw people. Number two, the disciples didn't notice the field because they were focused on the temporary things of this world. They were too focused on this world. Look at verse 31. It says, in the meanwhile, and so while the woman, who they barely noticed, she was now working the field, while all of that was happening, here's what the disciples were concerned about. The disciples brought food to Jesus and asked him to eat it. Here, Master, eat. We brought you food. Aren't you proud? Here's some food. Here's what Jesus said in verse 32. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Jesus says, I have some meat you don't even know about. Jesus was trying to get their attention. He was trying to get them to notice the field. He says, guys, there is something you're missing. And so the disciples heard that. And here's what they said. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Hold on. You have meat we don't know about? Who brought you food?
No.
You're missing it. They totally missed it. And so then in verse 34, Jesus began to explain to them that the meat he was talking about was to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Jesus said this, you are looking for ways to satisfy your flesh, but here's my focus. Here's where I find satisfaction, doing the will of him that sent me to finish the work of the Father. Well, what did God send Jesus to do? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why God sent him. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' main priority in life was to reach the lost, to work the field. Work the field. But the disciples were so distracted. They were so distracted by the needs of this life that they totally missed the needs of the next life. They missed the field. So then for the rest of our time this morning, Jesus explained to them that they were supposed to, the disciples, they were supposed to reap the harvest. And the woman has already sown the harvest. The woman sowed, they were supposed to reap. They were missing all of it. So Jesus is taking some time here, and he uses a proverb to explain it all to them. Look at verse 35. He says this to them, say not ye, there are yet four months, and then cometh harvest? Do you notice the question mark there? He's asking them if they have ever heard that. He's not telling them not to say that. It doesn't say not ye, that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He didn't say that. He asked them a question. He's asking, isn't this something you say? It would have been a local proverb of the day. There are 4 months, yet cometh the harvest. What does that mean? Well, the farmer would plant, and then 4 months later comes the harvest. And so there was a period of time, wasn't there? There's a period of time before they were ready to harvest. Are you following that? That's what the proverb's all about. You don't plant, and the next day you have food. That would be awesome. That's not how it works. There's a period of time between sowing and reaping. Okay, but then look at the end of verse 35. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Okay, so think about this for a second. So Jesus says, before harvest time, there is always a time of planting and working the field, right? If you have a plant and you have a ripe fruit ready to be harvested, here's what you know. A while ago, somebody planted that, somebody watered that, somebody weeded that, somebody worked the field, and now we have harvest. So there's a time period between those. And in this moment, Jesus says, the field is already white unto harvest. And so that would mean then that somebody has already been working the field. Are you following? He's looking out. What's the field? Well, he says, he looks up and he sees the people of Samaria coming. And the people are coming ready to hear from Jesus. And there's these people who are ready to be harvested. What does that mean? Not in a weird, creepy way. They're ready to be saved. They're ready to be harvested for eternity, right? And so Jesus sees these people who are ready to be saved. How did that happen? Because somebody has been working the field, you see. You remember that Samaritan woman you thought so little about? She has been working the field. The woman had already gone into the city and told them about what happened to her. She already went into the city and told them about Christ, and now they're ready to be harvested. So there was a time of sowing, and now there is a time of reaping. How are we doing? So then Jesus went on to explain how all of this works. How does working in the field work at all? Well, he says in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And so the sowers and the reapers both have a part to play in the harvest. If you have a harvest field, you cannot spend all your time harvesting. If you ever want to harvest, you first have to sow. Are you following? The ones that reap, they actually see and gather the fruit. And that's pretty exciting. But both the sowers and the reapers rejoice together. Everyone played a part in this. The sower is not upset that the harvester came and picked the fruit that they planted. No, they're not mad about that. That's why they planted. The harvester doesn't think he did all the work. They know when they harvest that fruit that there is plenty of work that has already been done to this plant. And so everyone who is a part of the field rejoices together when the fruit is harvested. How are we doing? One person gets to see it, but everyone gets to enjoy the fruit of the labor. You see? And so Jesus said in verse 37, and herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. He's really doubling down on the proverb he said before. There is a period of time between planting season and harvest season. And nobody can reap if nobody sows. And the sower is wasting his time if nobody reaps what he sowed when the fruit is ripe. Are you following? We need both. We need both. They both have an important part to play. The harvester has nothing to do if no one planted, and the planter is wasting his time if no one harvests. We need both. The labor of sowing at this point had already taken place. The sowing season had happened. The woman went in there and worked the field and sowed the seed. And the apostles, all they had to do now was harvest. That's what it says in verse 38. Look, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. You know, when you reap the harvest, it's really not a lot of work. That's the fun part. When a fruit is ready to be picked, you just got to bump the tree a little bit and it falls down. And so Jesus said, you are reaping on somebody else's labor. She worked the field. You're reaping. You see it? Oftentimes, this verse, there's a lot of emphasis placed on the reaping. And when we think about soul winning, we think about people being saved, a lot of emphasis is placed on the day that that person called out to Christ. But when somebody calls out on Christ, what that represents is a lot of working the field. Somebody told them about Christ. Somebody was a part of that before. Somebody was a good testimony in front of them. Somebody talked to them along the way. Somebody handed them a tract. Somebody was working the field. And then their time of harvest came. And everyone rejoices. At least they should. But usually what happens is this. Look at me. I led somebody else to the Lord. And we get notches in our belt. Now, we don't do this, but there are people out there who do that. We need to be careful not to do that. And sometimes we say, well, I never get to reach anyone. I never lead anyone to Christ. Just work the field. Just be a part of the field. Yeah. Luke said the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Why? For the saying of the woman. She was working the field, not the apostles. They were missing it. She was working the field. Which testified. He testified. Testimony. Witness. He told me all that ever I did. Hey, there's no indication that she was able to see the harvest at all. There's nowhere here that says she saw any of these people get saved. She didn't get to lead any of them to the Lord. The apostles did that. But it was because of her sowing the seed that these people believed. John was very clear about that, wasn't he? This is because of her labor. And without her work in the field, there would be no harvest for the disciples to reap. How are we doing? So that's the account. And there's a lot that can be said about this account. But this morning, I want to focus really on two main things. Number one is this. Jesus was confronting his disciples because they did not notice the field. They neglected the field. because they totally missed the field. They didn't have the right view of people. They didn't see people as eternal souls. They were focused on the temporary things of this life. They neglected the eternal things of this life, and Jesus was getting on their case about it. He said, lift up your eyes. You're not even seeing it. These people are walking out to you. They probably saw the Samaritans walking out of the city and thought, oh, great, Samaritans. Jesus said, no, lift up your eyes and look out there. It's the field. Get in it. He was getting on their case. And listen, sometimes we neglect the field because we totally miss the field. We don't even think about it throughout our day. We don't ever hardly think about eternity. We do around funeral time. Maybe on Sundays we think about it, but throughout our week, oftentimes we totally neglect the field. We're so caught up with the day-to-day that we don't see people as eternal souls. We usually see them as people in our way. We're so concerned about the needs of this life that oftentimes we neglect the needs of the next life. And so that happens. And we often are like the apostles here. But sometimes we neglect the field because we don't really understand how it works. Sometimes. We see people as eternal souls and we get a burden. And we know that as we see them, maybe we're in our mind thinking, these are eternal souls and they're going to spend eternity somewhere and hell is real. And they're going there if nothing is done. But what am I going to do about it? Sometimes we're there, aren't we? We think, I'm glad our church is reaching people, but I can't do that. Listen, it is not enough to be a part of a church that reaches people. It is not enough. You are not doing your part in the field if you are simply a member of a church that is reaching people. We need to take this call seriously and personally. We are all called. Every one of us is called to work the field. Well, you say, well, how can I work the field? Well, great question. That's what we're here to do. And we're going to spend a whole year talking about this. How can we work the field? What in the world can I do about this thing? Jesus explained how it works in our passage. Look again at verse 37. It says, and herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. And so when Jesus said that, here's what he's saying. There is one team who work together as a group. Right? We have sowers and we have reapers. There are two seasons of labor. There is planting season, there is gathering season. There are two types of workers. There are sowers, there are reapers. There are those who cultivate the field and cultivate the ground, and there are those who harvest the fruit. But both work together toward the same end. And Jesus said at the end of verse 36, that both he that soweth, it's right here, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We're all a part of this thing, aren't we? I'm concerned that too many times Christians are so discouraged because they don't feel like they can lead someone to Christ. Like, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. Because they don't know how to harvest, and they never go into the field. You see what I'm saying? But remember, listen, this is important. There has to be work in the field if there's ever going to be a harvest. You say, well, not every plant that I plant sprouts. Well, here's what I do know. If we never plant anything, nothing's growing. You know? There will be no harvest if there is not a time of planting and sowing and cultivating. And so since the harvesting is the easy part, really, truly, when someone's truly ready, harvesting is easy when the fruit is ripe. And since most of the labor happens before the fruit is ripe, here's what we need. We need more plowing. We need more planting. We need more watering. We need more weeding if we are ever going to see more harvest. No, you don't have to harvest, but you need to be in the field, you see. Hey, it could take a long time to be ready to lead someone to the Lord. If you know how to do it and if you understand how the gospel works and you have the verses memorized and stuff, if someone's truly ready to be saved, really it's easy on our end. All we got to do is tell them, well, if you believe, all you got to do is ask. That's it, really, in the end. Now there's more to it. We got to make sure they understand. But if someone is ready to be saved, you ought not to have to pressure them. If you've got to go take that apple and yank it off the tree, it might not be ready. And so the harvesting is the easy part, really, in the end. But it can take a long time to get to that place. And it is intimidating because you want to make sure you do it right. And you are dealing with an eternal soul. But here's the thing that everybody can be a part of. Everybody can plow the ground. Everybody can plant the seed. Everybody can water and weed the ground. Everybody can do something to work the field. Everybody has a place in the field. And then when the fruit is ripe, the harvesting will come easy. It's a little bump. After all that work, a little bump and it falls off the tree. I am concerned that sometimes we try to harvest fruit that's not ripe. And we focus so much on the harvest part that we're going out there trying to harvest people that are not ready to be harvested. We don't need to go out there harvesting. We need to go out there working the field. You see. If they're ready, then all by all means. But if they're not ready, then here's what you need to do. Plant, water, weed. Be a part of that process. And if you plow, if you plant, and if you water, and if you weed, you are every much a part of leading that person to Christ as the one who happened to be the one who harvested the fruit. We rejoice together, you see. And so you're a big part of this. We're all a big part of this, aren't we? We're all a big part of this. And so we're going to talk for the rest of our time about how this all works. How do I work the field? Now, I didn't really get to ask anybody, but I need 4 volunteers. Who wants to be volunteers? Come on. Anyone? Yeah, yep, come on. Little guy. Come on. Pretty much all you got to do is stand somewhere, okay? So you stand right here. And then you stand right there so people can see you. Come here, bud. I need one more. Who's coming? You want to... We'll let her come. Come on. Okay, you stand right here. You stand right here, please. Okay, so here's how we work the field. The first thing we need to do when you plant a field is plow the ground. That's you. Everyone see that? Plow the ground. And then we plant the seed. And then we water and we weed the field. Can I hold it from the top there? Boom. Thank you. And then harvest time. You see? This is how we work the field. And so the first thing we need to, when we go into the field, when we see a lost person, we need to identify, we need to do some groundwork here, right? We need to evaluate the field. And when we see somebody, we need to see, are they somebody who needs their ground plowed? Are they someone who needs the seed planted? Are they somebody who needs watered or weeded? Or are they somebody who needs harvested? We need to be good farmers that way, don't we? And notice where this person is. And so what does all of this mean? I'll explain it to you. First is this, plow the ground. Is this person you're talking to about Christ, you're trying to be a witness to, are they hard to the things of God? Is the soil of their heart hard? Listen, I want to tell you something, not to discourage you, but most of the people we deal with are here. They have hard hearts. There are a lot of people in your life who have no interest in the things of God. None. And when you try to tell them about Jesus, it's like it bounces right off of their heart. They have a hard heart. They don't want you to preach to them, right? They don't want it. They're hard. So what do? We need to plow the ground. Tell them about Jesus when the time is right, but there's a good chance they're not going to listen to you. I'm not trying to be a pessimist here. I'm trying to be real. And Jesus said it. It'll bounce right off their heart. Give them a tract every once in a while, but there's a good chance they're going to take it and throw it in the trash. You didn't waste it, but I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen a lot of times. But that's okay, because their heart, listen, their heart is not in a place to receive the seed. Their heart is hard. When we deal with a hard heart, remember that in the parable of the soils? We said when someone has a hard heart, it's important that they know you still have seed. So cast the seed so they don't forget it. But you don't need to try to drill a hole in the hard ground and shove a seed in there. It's not going to work. What you need to do is plow the ground. Well, how do you plow the ground? You put a rock in their shoe. What do you mean by that? I'll explain it here in a second. Listen, someone who has a hard heart might not be ready for a full presentation of the gospel. They're not ready for that. You might think, well, the gospel will do nothing but annoy him. And you might be right about that. Well, maybe you don't need to give him right now the whole gospel. Don't make it your goal every time to give the whole gospel to everybody. Make it your goal to give him one thing to think about. Put a rock in his shoe. Not something that's going to frustrate him or overwhelm him or push him away. Just something to think about that will annoy him just a little bit. Just one thing to think about. Just challenge his thinking a little bit. Just put a rock in his shoe. And pray that the Holy Spirit will take even that little bit of truth and use it to soften the soil just a little bit. Just a little bit. Maybe you just need to be a good testimony right now and love them. Show them the love of Christ. Show them the joy and peace of Christ. 1 Peter 2:12 says this, having your conversation, that's your lifestyle, the way you live, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, not by your preaching to them over and over again, but by your good works, which they shall behold and see, glorify God in the day of visitation. Your testimony matters. It's part of plowing the ground. And so be a Christian around them. Talk about Christ, not at them, but in front of them. You see? And then pray that the Holy Spirit will use that to soften their heart just a little bit. Just a little bit. And then maybe one day their heart will go from hard to soft. And it can take time. Listen, it can take time to plow the ground. But maybe one day it'll soften up. And they'll go from soft ground to seed sown at that point. And then they can have a seed that's been watered and weeded. And then maybe one day that seed will germinate and sprout. But right now we need to focus on plowing the ground. You see? Plowing the ground. Okay, the next one is plant the seed. So you see someone, maybe they've never heard the gospel. Has this person ever heard the gospel? Maybe they're in a place to receive the gospel. So what you need to do then is plant the seed. The seed's the gospel. Be a witness to them. Actually tell them the gospel. Tell them what Jesus did for you. Give them a tract. It has the gospel all in it. Invite them to church. Put another rock in their shoe. Give them more to think about and more to think about. Plant some seed. And then what do? Well, we water and we weed, right? You say, well, I've already given them the gospel over and over again. They've heard it before. But does this person understand the gospel? You see, what you need to do is start to reason with them. It's not just like a process, like you throw words at them and then they automatically get saved. No, you got to think through it with them. You need to water the seed by explaining what might not be clear to them. Just because you told them the gospel doesn't mean they understand all of it. Explain it to them. Let them ask you questions. Weed out false doctrine, false thinking about the gospel. Water the seed, weed the ground. Water the seed, weed the ground. Hey, set up a Bible study and sit down with them and talk to them about it. And tell them that I would be glad to. I promise you, whoever it is, I would be glad to sit down and have a Bible study. That's what Bible studies are all about. That we sit down and we water the seed and we weed the ground. We explain what they don't understand and we defunct any bad thinking in their mind, you see. Water the ground, weed the ground. Water the ground, weed the ground. Put another rock in their shoe, right? Give them something else to think about. And then that plant that has soft soil and a good seed and has been watered and weeded will grow, will have a plant, and that plant will start to produce fruit, and that fruit will ripen. Hey, by the way, this takes time. We can't force this. And that fruit one day will be ripe. And it's time to harvest. How do you know it's time to harvest? Well, do they understand their need? Do they know that they're a sinner? Do they understand it now? That they are a sinner and that they deserve eternity in hell forever? They deserve that? Do they understand that really? Do they understand the gospel that God loves them and He became a man and God died for them so that they can be saved from their sin, so that they can spend eternity in heaven forever instead of hell? Do they understand the gospel? Are they repentant? Is there conviction? By all means, if that's happening, harvest. Harvest the ripe fruit. Lead them to Christ. Help them to see how that they can be saved. Point them to me. Point them to somebody else in the church that you might that might be able to help them. But man, if they're ready, harvest the fruit. But remember this, ripe fruit falls easy from the tree. That will help you. Ripe fruit falls easy from the tree. If you feel like you need to pressure them into getting saved, they're not ripe yet. What do you need to do? Keep plowing. Keep planting. Keep watering. Keep weeding. And when they're ready, harvest. And listen, I want to help you with this morning. You can do this. Every single one of you can do one of these things, at least. Now, we need to get to the place where we're doing all of these things. And eventually, you need to be able to look at the field, identify the, you know, the lay of the land and see what you got to do and do it. But all of us can be involved somehow in this process. And throughout this year, I'm planning to do that. I'm planning to help you learn how to do all of this. We're going to have Sunday school series. We're going to have different sermons. We're going to do everything we can to help you to have the tools you need throughout this year to be working the field. Working the field. But right now, you don't have maybe a lot of tools. You know who didn't have a lot of tools either? The woman at the well. Here's what she did. She just told people what happened. You can do that. Hey, if you're saved today, that means that one day before you weren't, and something happened that was very important, and now you're saved. And you can tell people that. You can do that. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. You can do that. In fact, you're called to do that. It's time to get in the field. No more excuses. No, I don't know how to do the harvesting. Well, just don't tell them something. Work the field. I don't even have the gospel memorized. Well, give them one thing to think about. All you got to do is get in the field. Work the field. Be a good testimony. Think about people. Think about the field. If you just think about it, it'll be a help and a blessing. And when you live your life, when you're at work or with you, when you're with your family or when you're in the line at the store or if you're at a restaurant and the waitress is taking too long to get your stuff, remember, this is not just a waitress who is taking forever to get your drink refilled. This is a lost soul who needs the gospel and you need to live the gospel in front of her, you see. Just be a Christian and work the field, you see? Work the field. It starts with noticing. But we need to start working the field. Working the field. Thank you. Take off. Give them a hand. They did great. We're all called, aren't we? In that instance, the field was ripe unto harvest. I'm concerned that Falls City isn't as ripe to harvest as it should be. Do you know why? There's not enough workers in the field. We need some more sowers. We need some more people out there living the gospel, being intentional, getting in there and working the field, plowing the ground, planting the seed, watering the seed, weeding the seed. And when it's time, harvest. But we all need to be a part of working the field. There might be someone here this morning that are like the Samaritan woman when Jesus showed up. They're still part of the harvest. There's some in here that have not been saved. There's some in here that maybe have had their hearts softened and have heard the gospel and has things been explained to them over and over again. And they've heard it and they've heard it and they've heard it, but they've not reached out and they've not actually called out on Christ yet. It's time. If that's you, let's get harvested today. And you can go out there and join us in the field. But us that are saved, we need to be about the business of working the field. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, that you came. You came to this earth full of people who were in darkness, far from you, hard ground. And you came and lived among us. You came to work the field. You came to seek and to save the lost. You came to live a perfect life and to suffer and bleed and die on the cross for us. Thank you, God, for working the field yourself. Help us to follow your lead. Help us to notice people and see them the way you see them. Help us to have eternity front and center in our minds and our hearts. And to always, Lord, live our life with intentionality, working the field. If there's one here today that's not saved, they never had their sins forgiven, if they were to die today, Lord, they'd wake up the next second in hell for eternity. God, I pray that you would work in their heart. Bring conviction. Only you can make the seed germinate and sprout. Only you can bring life. And I pray that you would do that in them. Help them to see their need of salvation this morning. You come to this altar, get it settled. But we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Piano's already playing. If God's working your heart, now's the time to come.